I love devouring a thriller alone at night, just letting my imagination run wild. Well, I definitely got what I wished for when I dug into Run on Red by Noelle W. Eiley. Oof. The viral suspense thriller that killed it, not literally, on BookTok is now available to you as a deluxe special edition with gorgeous stenciled edges and a beautiful foiled cover. Talk about a vibe, my friends. Run on Red is a survival thriller about two women driving down a remote country road when they realize they are being followed. They don't have any cell signal and there's no way to escape. What starts as panicked road rage becomes something far more terrifying. As you might imagine, I consume a lot of thriller content on TV, online, and of course, getting cozied up with a good book is maybe my favorite. But sometimes thrillers can be so, I don't know, corny. Many don't give me that satisfying setup or the scare factor that I crave, but Run on Red isn't like that. It's grounded with a good pace, the kind of scenario that catches my attention and makes me a little nervous, but like not nervous enough to stop reading late at night, you know? Ugh, I love it. If you're a fan of Freida McFadden, Karen Slaughter, or John Mars, this is absolutely your jam. Run on Red by Noelle W. Eiley is available February 24th. So be sure to add it to your online cart, your big ol' reading to-dos, and eventually your favorite book list. So get under a blanket, get comfy, and keep those lights on just in case, because you're going to love Run on Red.
This episode sponsored by YouBeauty. Looking for skincare that actually delivers transformative results? YouBeauty combines breakthrough science with simplicity. The multitasking resurfacing compound replaces multiple steps with one powerful yet balanced formula designed to visibly brighten, smooth, and even skin while helping minimize the look of pores, dark spots, and fine lines. And it's gentle enough for sensitive skin. Add their super hydrator for up to 48 hours of multi-level hydration that leaves skin looking plump, dewy, and glowing. Streamline your routine and see the difference for yourself. Shop now at YouBeauty.com.
Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Abducted in Plain Sight. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
It's Friday again, and we're here to talk about some things that are in our weird history, true crime landscape. And there's a lot this week, I have to say. There's a lot going on. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Nancy Guthrie kidnapping. There's a search. Again, we don't know if she was kidnapped officially, but there's a lot of things pointing that way. What do you know about this case?
I know that there's not, like, these just feel like things that don't happen these days. Ransom notes and mysteries and like abductions, and I think people are not prepared, like are not kind of front loaded to like process stuff like this in the way they maybe did at a time where there was less surveillance, and then obviously like TV shows and movies and getting a ransom note, and it's just, I mean, it's the like a mystery on top of a mystery on top of a mystery. It's interesting, and I don't really know how to like kind of process it.
It's got notes to me of like JonBenet Ramsey in a way, where it's like this thing happens, very high profile for a different reason in her case, but there's these things that like don't make sense and we don't know what's going on, and we're
adult,
desperate.
Like,
yeah.
I think with JonBenet Ramsey, it's like, oh, it's easy to, you know, maybe it's easier to kind of kidnap a child, but also somebody who's elderly is also on the other end. So it's interesting.
Yeah. We don't hear about a lot of like elderly kidnappings, I would say. It's definitely like another vulnerable portion of the population, worrisome in its similar way. But also, I mean, the whole kind of high profile nature of it all is kind of what linked those two cases for me, because she was, again, the mother of today, co-anchor Savannah Guthrie. She was last seen on January 31st, 2026. We've got this surveillance video from the doorbell camera of a person. Did you see this video?
I did, yeah.
Oof. Ski mask, long pants, jacket, gloves, handgun holster outside of the front door the night that she vanished. And he's just, it's very, very creepy. He's just kind of standing there. And it's very clear, too. I think in a lot of these surveillance things, you're like, oh, it's like blurry. I can like make out whatever. It's pretty fucking clear. And they must know that
there's like, there's probably a ring cam in surveillance here. Mm-hmm. So they're not doing it.
They're like, hello.
Yeah. So that's interesting as well.
Yeah. One of the newer developments, too, as this podcast is being released, too, is that the police, the Pima County Sheriff's Department, did not want volunteer search groups to help. Like, they're trying to handle it on their own, which worries me. I feel like community effort usually brings about more answers, more visibility, and the fact that they're like, no, we got this. And I'm like, but you haven't gotten this since January 31st.
Are you maybe insinuating that they might know more than they're letting on, where they don't want other people to, and they want to keep it contained?
I don't know. I do know that it's not a giant department. So that worries me. Again, we've talked about many, many cases, Wednesday's case, where it's like a department that maybe is not well equipped to handle a crime of this nature. And that is always just like, oh, something's going to go, like, you're going to mess something up in an already kind of mysterious, you know, abstract amount of information. There's lots of theories, of course, theories that a family member wanted inheritance money. And that's actually the theory that came to my mind at first, too. Also working in true crime myself, where I'm like, oh, a kidnapping, someone vanishing, it's usually money motivated.
It was the most to gain.
Exactly, exactly. An older daughter and son-in-law, like, people are talking about them. People are talking about maybe she was kidnapped, held for ransom, taken to Mexico, died in captivity because she had a pacemaker too, which they weren't able to access that information after a certain amount of time. And people hypothesize that with a pacemaker, you're also taking medication. So if you don't have your medication, you're in trouble. Third theory, that there was someone outside in the ring camera footage and someone inside and a driver, more than one person. And then there's the whole Savannah Guthrie was one of the first newscasters to break the news of the Epstein files and Trump. So maybe that has something to do with it, which is like obviously a much bigger.
But it's, I mean, I don't know how that, aside from like, I guess, payback in a way, like how does that, like, it's not undoing the information, right?
No. It's like a war. It's almost like a warning to
maybe
me.
Other people that are doing the same thing.
But who might be whistleblowing.
I mean, yeah. Like, there's a lot of that going on.
We only have like 1% of the Epstein files. The rest are like going to be long video. Like, it's not even just like emails. Like, there's videos. There's so much content. So yeah, maybe it was a way for people to threaten journalists or other people. Yeah. But again, you're right. Everyone has what they have right now. I find it, I think it's particularly sad and chilling. And also all of this happened too around the time of the Olympics, which kind of overshadowed the Olympics, at least for me, which kind of also sent a message about how
disruption.
Yeah. Disruption around journalism, around newscasters. Again, I don't know if I don't know if this case is more of like a fuck you to journalists or a ransom thing or a bigger conspiracy. I don't know. But it has been so on the mind of everybody. And I feel like that must have something to do with it. It's high visibility.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, we will keep appraised of this case and keep talking about it.
Hopefully good news.
Yeah, hopefully good news. Another dark topic that is on my mind, it has been on my mind, honestly, longer than this docu-series has been out, is the America's Next Top Model limited series on Netflix. It's called Reality Check, America's Next Top Model. Have you checked that out?
I haven't, but I want to. It's interesting. America's Next Top Model is something that was like said like in the way of like American Idol, you know, all the like iconic reality shows, but even a little before. And it's just like something I haven't thought about. I was like, oh yeah, remember like supermodels?
Mm-hmm.
Even the 90s, like supermodels was such a, I mean, I'm sure it is now. I'm just not like culturally aware of it as I was like in the, like the 80s and 90s.
Oh, yeah.
It
was, but that was the era of the supermodel where it's like, I mean, we talked about the Fashion Cafe, which was a bunch of supermodels getting roped into this scam, opening this Hard Rock style cafe in their like the brand of the supermodel in the 80s and 90s was insane. And Tyra Banks, of course, was a part of that. Yeah. And like moving into early 2000s of Victoria's Secret. We talked a lot about that and the corruption that kind of occurred in that company's infrastructure. But I loved America's Next Top Model. I was very into it. The problematic nature of America's Next Top Model for me wasn't on my radar until I was not a teenager anymore. It, for me, it just felt like, oh my God, like how fun and glamorous. And they're like putting them through the paces. Very early 2000s reality programming.
And there was no, you weren't having conversations online about what does this mean? So we just kind of take
the discourse.
Like,
yeah.
What did the TV give us? What are, or maybe news, like, you know, magazines give
us. Or like your other like middle school friend talking about it. It wasn't like, kind of evolved discourse around what it was. But this obviously talks about it. And actually, maybe a year ago, I watched, during my pregnancy, I watched like four cycles of it. And it was like, it was shocking. It, I mean, I was like sick about it. Like, it was so crazy to watch it all. It was so manipulative.
The Biggest Loser is kind of in that kind of,
is
adjacent to that, is being like, oh, this is tough.
Yeah. And I'd imagine that this was created and sold based on the Biggest Loser documentary, which we talked about too a little bit, which was also incredibly upsetting. But we talked about in this podcast just one kind of point of contention in the many in America's Next Top Model, which is the Cycle 13 model call, which happened in Manhattan, where hundreds of people panicked after there was a smoking car. People thought there was a bomb inside the car. It was chaos. And it was all chaos that people kind of kept around and didn't give as much credence to, I guess, because they were trying to get into this audition for America's Next Top Model. So again, another point of destruction in this already very problematic franchise. Now, I have watched parts of this and it still feels like it's not healing old wounds, I would say. I think it's more like Tyra Banks saying like it was a different time and apologizing in some ways, but also making sure that the audience knows that like they were also groundbreakers in other ways, like Miss J and the idea of like, you know, people who didn't identify on a gender binary being able to be a part of something, something bigger, which I is true, but it's also like, okay, I wonder if that could have happened without this show that ruined a lot of people's lives.
And also, Tyra Banks is the face of it. So, every decision that's made, like, she's kind of, not to say that it's not excusing anything or whatever, but when you're like the face of it, it's like, oh, every decision that was made, you who signed off on personally.
Totally.
And there's a lot of people, a lot of moving parts in these things. People are accountable, like, you know, from the bottom up to the top.
Totally. And she in this is like, I was just giving you what you wanted. I was not like a part of, like, I'm not a TV producer. It's like, but you were the executive producer. Yeah. So you have to take some accountability for this. And you are the face of this.
And you cashed the check.
You
right?
cashed the checks. You birthed the show. You know, it wouldn't have happened without you. And they talk about the other executive producer and he's on the show too. But he also is just like, well, it was a time we created these things at this certain time. And I think a product of his time only goes so far.
We thought we were going to be able to do it unscathed, and we didn't realize that the world would, I mean, the world didn't even really change. The world was the same, but the world got smaller with the internet, and we have conversations about it and discourse, like you said.
Yeah, it's like, you cashed that check, you spent that money, and you wanted it to be okay. But when you make a challenge of, like, race swapping, not once, but twice, you're going to have to be held accountable at some point for these types of insane challenges and situations. And they are, I think they're facing a lot of criticism. But again, they profited off of it. They're still profiting off of the discourse, the resurgence of America's Next Top Model. I'm sure people are watching it a ton now. So it's kind of an interesting question with these muckraking documentaries.
Are we just making it, like, are we just perpetuating it?
Yeah. Are we just ourselves in this?
Well, we're talking about it here.
Exactly. We're talking about it now. We're a part of the problem.
Yeah.
But again, you can't create a solution without talking about part of the problem. So that's that's one thing. That's kind of positive. Let's end this episode with something a little bit positive. Okay. Punch the Monkey. Everyone's talking about Punch the Monkey.
I know nothing about it as we're
You
as
are
speaking.
A Punch the Monkey virgin.
On threads, I've seen it referenced, but I did not get a chance to look into it.
Okay. Punch the Monkey is a 6-month-old adorable monkey that was abandoned in a city zoo outside of Japan. That's where I'm going to say. Punch the Monkey is an adorable monkey, 6 months old, who was abandoned by his mom.
And
probably
the monkey's name is Punch.
His name is Punch.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I did
Punch.
Not because I
Baby
was like,
Punch.
I was like, this is not ending on a positive.
no, that's, and it's short for something longer. But he was abandoned by his mom, probably because it was a heat wave and his mom was giving birth. Anyway, he was abandoned by his mom. He was given a orangutan plushie from IKEA. You can buy them. You can buy yourself one for $22.
and he held onto it, and it was his new mom, and it was like so cute. And they were like, this is great. And the zoo people like attended to him 24/7 and finally got him healthy into a place. And then they put him in with the other monkeys, and the monkeys rejected him.
Oh,
and so there's a lot of like pictures of him like holding the orangutan and like trying hard. It's like heartbreaking. But so everyone's like rapt, right? Everyone's like, oh my God, what's happening to Punch? Then one monkey grooms Punch, and everyone's like, oh my God, thank God this monkey got groomed and like he's assimilating. Then another monkey like got into a fight with him and bullied him. And everyone's like, fuck that monkey. I'm going to fucking kill that monkey. Nice. And then he made a new friend with a older monkey. And that's where we're at. He's making friends slowly, but everyone has put their heart and soul into this tiny little monkey in a remote Japanese zoo. And we're just waiting with bated breath for the next update. And the zoo, of course, a tiny zoo, is just like, oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
Like, they had like lines of visitors. This zoo has become like a celebrity place. Like, it's very inspiring and sweet.
And the monkey's name is Punch, to be clear.
To be clear.
Yeah. The monkey named Punch would have been...
You think that was an invitation?
I don't know. I just was like,
you
oh,
have a
no.
conspiracy around this.
I was like, oh no. But I think he's in the files.
You think Punch the monkey is... Oh, here we go.
This episode sponsored by YouBeauty. Looking for skincare that actually delivers transformative results? YouBeauty combines breakthrough science with simplicity. The multitasking resurfacing compound replaces multiple steps with one powerful yet balanced formula designed to visibly brighten, smooth, and even skin while helping minimize the look of pores, dark spots, and fine lines. And it's gentle enough for sensitive skin. Add their super hydrator for up to 48 hours of multi-level hydration that leaves skin looking plump, dewy, and glowing. Streamline your routine and see the difference for yourself. Shop now at YouBeauty.com. This episode sponsored by YouBeauty. Looking for skincare that actually delivers transformative results? YouBeauty combines breakthrough science with simplicity. The multitasking resurfacing compound replaces multiple steps with one powerful yet balanced formula designed to visibly brighten, smooth, and even skin while helping minimize the look of pores, dark spots, and fine lines. And it's gentle enough for sensitive skin. Add their super hydrator for up to 48 hours of multi-level hydration that leaves skin looking plump, dewy, and glowing. Streamline your routine and see the difference for yourself. Shop now at YouBeauty.com.